Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite,
shut up.
And start getting real.
Killed it. Good job.
He is Will Simmons.
Just here with my ingenuity.
And I am Spencer Kitley, and my face is my professionality. And you're listening to After Reality. Welcome back. It's week two of The Bachelorette. Our Bachelorette, Becca, is being amused by some of these guys, seems to be interested in others, and is whittling out the rest. So we're looking forward to diving into The Bachelorette tonight. Also, instead of our usual three podcast week, we're going to have a special grab bag at the end of The Bachelorette tonight. We're going to talk a little bit Challenge Champs versus Stars, Southern Charm, and maybe the most epic episode of it of the series. And then quick updates from Will's favorite Below Deck Mediterranean. And, of course, the Jersey Shore summer vacation or reunion or whatever. Family reunion, I believe.
Family reunion.
Will, what's the good word?
Yeah, busy. Lots to get through here. And actually, this Bachelorette episode wasn't for a second episode. It's pretty into.
Yeah, like the front end of the season, it's like it's slow right at the very beginning. And then it's slow at the end. There's that small window of about 4 weeks where it's really good.
Yeah.
And that probably starts next week, I would hope. And it looks like we have some excitement with a football game and maybe what looks like an actual real injury compared to some of the ones that get put in trailers in the past.
Maybe. But,
yeah, maybe. We know they, along with the good folks over at MTV, can put together a trailer, and that's for sure.
It's interesting, though, that this injury, usually injuries are like, or whatever, like people getting hurt like later in the season. This one's third episode in, so.
Yeah, I think that's Chicken Man. I rewound it a few times to take a look. I think that's David the Chicken Man.
So does Jordan beat his ass up?
I don't know. I don't know that Jordan's a fighter. But.
I don't see what Jordan is a fighter. Yeah, he'd hate to lose his moneymaker.
Yeah. Professionality. But right. Before we get into this, why don't you remind everybody where they can find us on the interwebs?
We're on Twitter at After Reality Pod. You can like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook and follow us on Instagram account at After Reality Podcast.
And of course, you can always subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Or just listen wherever you download your podcast. So let's go ahead and dive into this thing. And I want to point something out real quick. Right off the top, I'm enjoying Becca as the Bachelorette, probably more so than I expected to. She already has a catchphrase, and it's not do the damn thing. Just like Ari had, I love it. Ben Higgins had, it's amazing. She says, I'm not going to lie, an awful lot.
Okay.
Prefaces almost everything she says with, I'm not going to lie. So listen for
that, Ryan.
Listen for next week.
All right. That's interesting.
I'm not going to lie, I'm really attracted to you. I'm not going to lie, I don't know, but she says it a lot. But anyhow, we picked up this week in Venice. Becca's pedaling her bicycle through the streets of Venice Beach. And it's the first day at the mansion for the guys post marathon night on night one. And Jordan, our guy, he's already narrating the show. And Chris Harrison's here. I was amused that he didn't remember who David was, or at least didn't. Because David was wearing the chicken suit on night one. And I like that David's kind of owning it. Like, hey, I'm Chicken Man. That's who I am. And as we know, Chris is there. He's delivering the date card, and it's a pretty big date. I think eight guys. Some of the notables on that one were Jordan, Connor, Lincoln. We'll talk about some of the others as we go. This is one of those let's dress up like we're getting married kind of dates that have come to be almost annoyingly standard on this franchise. Mm-hmm. But it has a little bit of twist. First off, it's sponsored by the Black Tux, which I'm not familiar with, but I assume that's some kind of...
I've used them online.
Is it?
Yeah, they're good. It's actually quality stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Use it for a friend's wedding.
Okay, but it's rentals.
Yeah, it's all rental. Oh, you can buy, but it is a rental foremost. Yep.
Cool. So, I mean, Becca's here in the Black Tux room with a room of half-dressed men, and she's observing them, and she gets to learn that Jordan is a model.
I'll try this at home, guys. This is done by a professional, so you know.
That's not your advantage.
What? Boom. That's the pensive.
Pensive.
I am. Yes. Oh. Yeah. As far as being in clothes and being comfortable, no one's going to beat me at that. That's what I do. I'm a professional at it. That's what makes me me.
What other tips can you give me?
Before you put your socks on in the morning, or your pantyhose, or your shoes even, mm-hmm. put the confidence on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will, what's the first thing you put on in the morning?
Probably my tennis shoes or shorts.
I put on my underwear.
Well, I mean, oh, you take when I wake up, I'm already wearing underwear, so I don't know how you live.
you never know.
That's what they do at the Kitley house, huh?
You keep them guessing. But yeah, so she's now aware that Jordan's a model. I think she's pretty amused by Jordan, even still at this point, even all the way fast forward to the end of the show. I don't know that she's interested in him, but definitely amused. And if I'm there, don't I want to be kind of amused and entertained while this process is going on?
Or you're not entertained? Yeah, no, he definitely brings a good comic relief, even though he's annoying. He annoys basically David in the house the most, but yeah, he's good. He's a good comic relief. Plus, yes, he breaks it up a little bit. He's not as serious and like plotting as some of these other guys are.
Yeah, so and second appearance of the season for Rachel Lindsay and her beau Brian Abasalo. And they are there for Groom's Day, a play on Doomsday, and it's a dirty, messy obstacle course that these guys have to compete in. Did you catch the commercial break during this segment for Ocean's 8?
Yeah, actually, I rewound it because I was fast forward. I was like, whoa, 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 what is this?
I didn't catch who the fourth one was, but it was Carly, Ashley, I, Caitlin, and I think JoJo sitting around drinking wine, watching a trailer for Ocean's 8. Is that what the commercial was?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going along with the whole Ocean's 11 and 12 and whatever, trilogy here.
I know that a new movie comes out this Friday,
right?
With women as the eight, notably, I think Sandra Bullock's one of them. I don't know who else is in the movie, but I just thought it was a weird ad run with. I guess it's probably pretty cheap advertising to get those four to get in a room and drink some wine.
It was a pretty hard plug, though. That's for sure. I definitely didn't coast that one through there. It's pretty in your face.
Yeah, so anyhow, let's get to this obstacle course that Lincoln narrowly wins over David. It came down to those two guys. None of the other guys are even in the contest. Lincoln gets a kiss and a faux proposal. But there was a lot of controversy around this. The guys were pissed that Lincoln, quote, cheated.
Yeah. Well, he was in the barrel of water at the same time as some other people, and he got out earlier because, like he said, his timer was done.
He was over there tapping on his timer. You don't remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Categories back in the day?
Sure. And then he's eating the cake, and he constantly kept touching it with his hands, even though he couldn't. But what's funny is he wins, right? Lincoln wins. Connor made some couple like snide remarks about this whole thing. But at this point, though, like, do you want to make a scene about Lincoln possibly cheating during a game like this? Or do you just keep it yourself and just it sucks that he cheated and won? But, like, how do you want to come off in this? And honestly, if you really wanted to make a scene of it, you could. But what are you really going to get out of it?
It's not like it was the losers have to go back to the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
In that scenario, you might want to say something.
Yeah. But same time, if everyone else thought he was cheating, they all could have been like, yo, dude, but they didn't. And I'm like, either they are kind of just weak and like, oh, I don't want to make a big deal about it, it's too early, or they're like, oh, whatever, just let them have it.
What? Do you remember what happened when Crystal?
You know, I mean, you look like a wuss if you do make a big deal. So at the same time, I'm like, hey, if I'm trying to win and this guy's cheating, like, maybe I say something, maybe I don't, but either way. What's funny is this, as we get later on, like, never really comes back up.
Oh, but it does.
In a different way.
Yeah. He was awarded a framed photo of he and Rebecca at their proposal covered in cake batter. And this, he goes way over the top, Will. He comes back to the group of guys, puts his picture right there on the table. I'm like, come on, dude. And then he's talking to the photo. He even kisses the photo. This is like waving money in someone's face. Like, hey, look, I got all this money.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's being a dick about it the whole time. He's also being really pompous about it. Same time, like, whatever. I mean, like, he's a picture. I mean, I get it. It is showboating, and that's kind of annoying for the rest of the group. But is this the worst thing that he could be doing?
Talking to it?
Yeah. I mean, also, this is it's an edit, right? I mean, like, was he doing it in front of everyone, or was it kind of like a corner? Was only one person in the room? Was it only Connor?
Yeah, I love that he probably thought he was getting a rose when Becca said, I have something for you. I think it's a framed photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is, like, I mean, whatever, he won, but it doesn't mean you won her over. You just won the competition. It had nothing to do with you, she liking you, so.
You know who won? The ground outside next to the swimming pool where the picture frame met its match, thanks to Connor's aggressive disposal of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably be annoyed as well. And the fact that Lincoln just keeps shoving in his face, because it's one of those things, though, where it's like, you could see this happening in so many different ways, where it's like, can you put that away? And it's like, oh, did you want me to put this away? No, I'm not going to put it away. But if you wouldn't have said anything, I might have put it away. Now you made it a scene, and I'm going to make it really more meaningful than it was before. I mean, Connor took it overboard. Let's be honest. Like, you don't need to do that, but I do appreciate him doing it.
You could have, yeah. Take it and hide it from
him. Yeah.
Maybe you don't destroy it.
I mean, destroying is a little aggressive. I mean, Connor is a professional trainer of some sort, so.
There. And now there's some shattered glass on the pool deck, or maybe in the swimming pool, wherever they are on this date.
Yeah. And the worst part is that once it happens, Lincoln goes to Becca immediately and is like,
This is a soft move.
Like,
right here.
What are you doing, man?
Crying. Come on, man.
It's practice. Wait, you talking about practice? It's sad.
Lincoln tells her that he feels threatened physically. Have you seen Lincoln with his shirt off?
Animal. That guy is a beast.
I'm already out on Lincoln. This dude sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they gave us a pretty good trailer after the first episode. This guy is not the end of Lincoln and his antics either. So, at the same time, Connor, got to keep it together, dude. This is the second episode. This is the first group date. Come on, like,
yeah,
got to keep it together.
She pulls Connor to the side. He explains, says Lincoln isn't a genuine guy. He uses the right word in this instance, genuine. She wants a man that can be respectful, carry himself well. She doesn't want to deal with the drama. And all of their time is consumed by this. And good on her for saying, like, hey, I don't think this is the best time for us to get to know each other further.
Oh, absolutely.
Not really a great first impression. And I'd be, like, kind of taking a crap in my pants if I was Connor, if I really wanted to be there at this point.
Yeah.
I will say good on Connor for coming back at the cocktail party.
Oh, yeah.
And he apologizes, I thought, sincerely and convincingly, and has her throw a photo of him covered in cake into the pool saying that's not who he is.
Right.
So
he recovered.
I felt like it was a pretty nice bounce back for him. I mean, probably still not a great first taste in her mouth of who he is.
No. Same time, like, he did not explain his side very well to her. He basically came off like trying to like, oh, I mean, this is, oh, I didn't really mean it like that. That's not who I am. He could have, he has to explain this, he should start from the beginning like, listen, the guy's a little shady on the course. This is why I was upset. He really kept pushing this picture. He kind of just backed away and just let her just like tell him what Lincoln told her and just kind of apologize for it. It's like, you could at least put some more effort in the context of why you did it instead of just being like, oh, I freaked out. I'm sorry. I never did it again. It's like, no, listen, he egged me on. It wasn't just a quick, I'm throwing your picture away because he put it in front of me. Like, he could have stood up for himself a little more.
And to close out Lincoln, I mentioned it earlier that he got this photo, but he also got a kiss, and Lincoln looks to be quite the aggressive kisser. Lamar Odom style, if anybody ever saw his kisses on the Kardashians, it was something to watch. And he has this quote, Will, about what it's like kissing Becca. Like, it's making you choke.
I'm choked up here. It's like Lincoln.
I think Becca is like flying to the moon on a Pegasus while dancing with unicorns on a pot of gold. Is this guy human?
This guy, he's over the top. I don't think he's here for the right reason, Spencer.
Yeah. And anyhow, Lincoln and his half-truth. She ends up giving the rose that night to Jean Blanc, who she also kissed on that date.
Cologne Sur, Jean Blanc?
Yeah, I kind of like Jean Blanc.
Sure.
He seems like a smooth dude. And Lincoln, his stuff kind of spills over into the next day. The morning after, Lincoln's telling some of the guys that weren't there that this picture was like a Medal of Honor. And he's in tears telling all the guys that they were not safe on the date, that Connor's just dangerous and has broke his heart and really hurt him. Like, is this guy really an actor?
So pathetic. First off, Medal of Honor is for soldiers, not for winning an event you cheated in a TV show. So calm down.
What is his profession again? Do you recall?
Douchebag. I don't know. Probably something, I don't know, fitness related. I'm just going to guess.
Who's the Globetrotter? Was the Globetrotter?
Criston.
Oh, Criston. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's not this guy. Okay, no. But this keeps going. Jason goes to Jordan to get the scoop on it, and this is what Jordan had to say.
So I've got a question right now, like, is Lincoln going to try to get revenge? Is he here for Becca? Is he full of love? Is he looking for love? Is he what's really going on? He's showing ingenuity.
Ingenuity?
Good line, Jordan.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure you're looking for disingenuous.
Right.
He's very disingenuous.
Lincoln is a sales executive. Go figure, sales guy.
But of course.
Yeah, Jordan. Good try, though, Jordan. Really, really good try.
Bit of a wanker.
How long? The line, the quote. Who says this?
It's Jordan.
Jordan, yeah. He's like, how long did it stay in the UK? Not the University of Kentucky to get that accent. He's a bit of a wanker.
Thanks for the clarification, Jordan. I was really thinking you were talking about Lexington.
At first when he said it, I was like, did he say, why did he go to the University of Kentucky? I didn't know that. But I was like, yeah, oh yeah, they got it.
He's a big basketball and Ashley Judd fan.
Yep. Bluegrass.
Take us into the first one-on-one of the season.
Yeah, so we pick up where good old Blake, who just, you know what, after the first week, I wish I had him on my team. He seems like the ultimate front runner, even though Colton, our boy in every league we're in, seems like he's got a leg up for now. Blake seems awesome.
You got Colton at number one, and I got Blake at number one. That's kind of how it shook out that first week.
Yep. You're going to win this, don't worry. they end up in a kind of industrial lead. Yeah, right. So they end up in a kind of grungy part of town, kind of industrial. They basically are dressed up in jumpsuits, helmets, work boots, sledgehammers. They do some demolition.
This is where you go in LA when you don't want anyone to find you filming.
Yeah, this is some big sound stage where they're just like smashing stuff. But really, to add to the momentum of this is the one and only Lil Jon.
Yeah. What? Okay.
Good old Lil Jon. Not only is he playing his own music, he's also narrating some of these things in here and trying to pump them up to try to get them included.
Hey, it turns out Blake, big Lil Jon fan.
Big. So what is it? What constitutes a big Lil Jon fan, though? I've heard all of his big hits. I know some deep cuts.
Salt Shaker.
Yeah, I mean, like Lil Jon's got a lot of music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All the things I listened to probably my senior year in college.
I know those three. I'm drawing a blank on any other Lil Jon track.
He shows up in a lot of other music too. So, you know,
Lil Jon and the East Side Boys was the big thing before he went solo.
Yeah, but he DJs his entire portion. They break a lot of stuff. They end up popping some bottles and drinking some champagne. You make a good point here, and I thought the same thing while they're sitting on the couch. Blake looks like Devin from The Challenge. I thought the exact same thing. Especially in that shot. When he's sitting on the couch, kind of like at the end of it, it was like kind of disheveled looking. I'm like, you totally look like a Devin.
He totally looks like Devin.
Devin Walker. Let's go!
Yeah. Side note on Lil Jon. He's 47 years old.
Yeah. Randomly, I did not know he was that old, but I did know he was mid to late 40s. And I was like, oh, yeah. Still rocking, though. Theater portion of the date.
My favorite part of the destroying stuff is when someone like soft tosses a bottle of champagne for Blake, and he takes a hack with a baseball bat thing midair. And I was like, I want to do that. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
Give me some goggles. Let's play ball.
I mean, that was a pretty fun date. I mean, like, who wouldn't want to just be given carte blanche to just, you can destroy every single thing in this room. Go.
TVs, a car.
Yeah.
I was just like, why did she get up on the car and start hitting on the crowbar?
Yeah. Sledgehammer. A sledgehammer or a bat. Yeah, I wouldn't break something.
That's probably the way to go because the sledgehammer's heavy.
Yeah, true. Blake can manage that. But also, this was an amazing opportunity to bring back one and only Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit play break stuff.
Yeah, I was glad you brought this up because I was thinking the same thing. We're right on the same page here on this date. Well, I was like, give me something to break.
Yeah. I posted a very timely tweet about that one. The nice little gift from that video. I forgot Jonathan Davis from from Korn was in it. I'm like, man, what a hell of a song that was.
Hey, the true undoing of Limp Bizkit was when Wes Borland left the band.
100%.
They were just never the same. They put out chocolate starfish in the hot dog flavored water and then never to be from again.
Funny story about Wes Borland, sidetrack. My buddy actually sent in his guitar basically resume tape audition to be part of the Limp Bizkit. Turns out he got the guy from Snot instead, but he actually went through a couple rounds of trials where he had to send in.
But he was put in to replace Wes.
Yes. Got it. It was an open competition for it.
Did he wear a mask?
No, he just played. He was actually a really awesome guitar player, but did not fit that style of music. He was more of a metal guy, but real metal guy.
Yeah, well, I was talking about those heavy sledgehammers. And they were already aching and sore come dinner time on this date.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Complete 180 from her first one-on-one of this, or one-on-one of the season last year, which was obvious because she was with the Snooze Fest Ari last season.
I love it. I love sleeping. Love it. Yeah. So he actually shares like a similar story with her just like hard and fast. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow.
Hard and fast relationship. That
yeah, that's right. Exactly. And he saw texts from her friends asking, have you done it? Have you broken up with him? And then complete the utter, and like going through the whole like rigmarole of this whole thing.
Is that the worst way you could find out, or that you get broken up with, is that you find out you're getting broken up with before it happens?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's awful. It sucks. But I think Blake does a really good job here the whole time, like, kind of getting past all the Ari stuff, right? Because it keeps coming up. It always kind of comes up. I think he did a good job of focusing on them.
He had to watch Becca get proposed to by Ari on their date on a wall of TVs.
Yeah. That's crazy. So... yeah, no, it's a really good date. I mean, I think I actually kind of like this guy too. Just their pairing seems really well matched. Yeah, I mean, the horse moment kind of like really helped her out. I mean, like, there's a lot of symbolism with their meeting and where they are now at this point. So he definitely gets the rose. I mean, that was an obvious one, but this guy stood out immediately. Like, I was like, wow, this guy didn't really see this one coming before the show. Now it seems like he'll be
we liked episode one. He's a handsome guy. He seems pretty charming. He had a horse and an ox. I like the guy. I'm not sure where he lives. I have to check his bio, see if sometimes that plays into how
I think he's from Colorado. Colorado.
I think you're right. I think Colton is too. I think they're both from Colorado. Not too far to go hang out with Becca, who I think is living in LA now. Imagine that. Love it.
Go for it.
Anyhow, let's go to the second group date. This is date card says, love comes at you hard and fast. And on this date, it is Garrett, Ricky, Venmo John, Ryan the Banjo Man, Alex, Kriston the Globetrotter, Trent, I have no terms for you. Leo, the stuntman, Wills with the high top fade, and Colton, the all-American boy from Colorado. Jason and long-haired Mike don't get a date. That's tough. Week one, like, two dudes are just don't make it out of the house.
I thought everybody had to go on a date. I thought you were, like, if you don't go to one-on-one or whatever, you have to go in a group.
For the first, like, three or four weeks, there's always a handful of people that get left behind.
Dang.
And that's how you end up with being in the final eight with someone you have no idea who they are.
Right.
Because they keep kind of getting a pass, like, oh, well, I didn't get to take them on a date this week, so I'll keep them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how that happens.
Right. Also, the fact that some people actually go through that and they're actually still get roses over people that they actually end up engaging with, that seems odd.
Well, that kind of is like, it's kind of like keeping an ace in the hole. Like, hey, I think I like those guys and I'm okay keeping them even without taking them on a date.
Right. Or I really dislike you, so you need to go home.
Yeah. I'm going to take the guys that I'm not so sure about out and I'm going to get rid of them. Anyhow, they head out on a school bus. They go to a school where they meet they meet in the middle of a field. They end up going into a gym, getting pegged with a bunch of dodgeballs by a bunch of elementary school kids who are drill sergeant-esque, good child actors that they found in L.A.
Go figure.
And I love when they start loading up the jugs machine with these dodgeballs and shooting balls at them 50, 70, 100 miles an hour. Have you ever caught a ball out of a jugs machine?
I have, and it's hard.
Yeah, it's humming. I mean, at least a football is the right shape coming out of a jugs machine. Like, fits through the hands, but
big flexible ball,
the round ball,
yeah,
would be tough.
That's also like super wobbly because it's like super, you know, bouncy. So
yeah.
Yeah.
They're playing in the Ultimate Bachelorette Dodgeball Championship, hosted by Chris Harrison and Fred Willard. He's back.
He's getting old.
We had Fred on either last season of The Bachelor or on Rachel's season. I can't recall which. But twice they brought him on now, and twice I feel like have been squandered opportunities of having a seasoned funny man on the show. Anyhow, Leo is the story here. There's
before you get any further, Fred Willard's amazing. What are you talking about? He did best in show. That's why he's on there.
He's great. He's not great on the show. It's a waste of opportunity here. That's what my point was, that like we didn't get a lot of content out of him here on the show.
I feel like he has to be PG because it's ABC, because he definitely is more, he likes doing like more very sexually perverse jokes at times. Not over the top, but just the fact that it's ABC, you know.
Next time we need Frank Azaria on here, and or Hank Azaria doing
Brett Meyer. Watch on the Hulu.
Hey, they got a he's got a podcast. Anyhow, so Leo,
yeah,
there's two teams. There's a pink team and a green team, and I don't really want to talk about what happened in this game. Leo is the man. I think he actually played college baseball. I heard a rumor he played at UCLA.
Wow.
He's a great athlete. He's a stuntman. And his team sucks.
Yeah, bad.
The other team is keeping like three, four, five guys on the court. And Leo's like an army of one with respect to Dolph on that one. But Leo is killing it. But you can only do so well by yourself. But this guy's great in interviews. He's super dry. I'm in on him, if not here in Paradise.
Yeah, and I dig him too. His wit's pretty awesome. Also, I kind of noticed how he was playing the game. He definitely hung out behind other guys on his team, so it made it easier for him to not get hit and stay last longer. But he definitely was making some crazy moves up there. I mean, a stuntman, he's got to be athletic, be able to move around. So, like, he definitely killed it in this competition by himself. But, yeah, the team's terrible around him. Like, it's pathetic.
I mean, and we know how many athletes are on the season. He had athletes on his team. I think Colton was on his team.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just because you're an athlete doesn't mean you can
do stuff.
Throw.
No. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're necessarily able to get out of the way of a dodgeball.
You can dodge dodgeball.
You hear the rumors on Leo this week. Another profession, done some acting outside of stunt manning. Has an IMDb credit for what was listed in most articles I've read about it about Leo. Falls more into the softcore porn category.
I was going to say, I was like, did you do porn? Well, I mean, like, softcore, like, you're talking like Skinamax, Late Night HBO, Cat House.
Probably Skinamax.
Yeah. So, whatever. I mean, like, that's not full on. Yeah. Full on.
Sheena and Chris did that as well.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Anyhow, dinner portion of the date. I thought the quote out the gate on the dinner portion of the date was great. When the guy set their trophy down, they're like, are you guys going to be okay? If we
Don't cry about it.
We can put it away if you need us to.
So what's funny is that they probably saw through, I feel like they saw through Lincoln's BS a little bit. And that's why it was like even funnier. Right?
We're there for the previous thing.
No, but also I think they kind of saw through the BS where just like, this guy was crying about this. And they're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Cool. Cool story, bro.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
You want to talk about some of these dudes?
Yeah. So this first one's great. What sucks is this guy went home. Alex said one of the best one-liners of the night. And it's
when you
funny
say a great one-liner, you should automatically get to stay.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's like, I really like Becca. She has her shit together. I don't normally date girls that have their shit together. How do you date?
I like honesty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's honestly the only thing we really get out of Alex's entire two episodes, but that was a good one-liner.
Yeah. Wills gets some quality airtime, talking parental influences with her. Another kiss?
Yeah.
And then Colton tells the guys that he had a relationship with Tia from last season. So he's dated Tia and Allie Raisman, and then he gets some time with her. Now he's going to tell her his story.
So before you get into this, so you go tell everyone you had a relationship with Tia, but later on we find out what the distance of that time, that space of time was. Wouldn't you be a little more specific with people about how long you were with someone just to make sure that doesn't get taken into context later on?
Yeah, no, I want to get to this.
Yeah, go ahead. I think it's
really interesting. We'll recap what he said, and then I want to dive in and kind of dissect a little more. Talks about how the timing wasn't right. To grow a spark into a flame. Jeez. Nice wording there, Colton. And then tells Becca that what he knows of her, he thinks they can build something awesome. She says that makes me feel a little bit sick, referencing Tia. And she feels like it's a very tricky situation and it puts her in a strange situation. She really likes Colton, very attracted to him. Not going to lie, very attracted to him.
Not going to lie.
And it didn't go so well. Let's dissect this a little bit. How long did he say he and Tia dated?
He eventually says it was a weekend.
We had a great weekend together. Maybe some texting. Okay. How far did Tia go on her season of The Bachelor?
Basically third or fourth to the end.
Yeah, I think she was. She went to hometowns for sure. Mm-hmm. I think maybe she lost out at hometowns.
Yeah, she did.
And Tia was the projected bachelorette before Becca had her heart torn out and run over with a truck. But we also know when that season concluded airing was only a couple of weeks prior, not even a couple of weeks, maybe a week prior to this season starting to film. Now, I know air date and is different than when they wrap that season, but it was sometime in like January or February, right?
Yep.
And we also know he somewhat recently dated Allie Raisman. There's no way this relationship could have been of any, I don't know,
extensive time of time. Yeah, I mean, like, there's not much there. There's not much time there.
Like, I guess he brings it up because he doesn't want it to awkwardly come up, which I guess good on him because
yeah, you have to
it up next week.
Well, yeah, because you don't be like, oh, you know him? Like, yeah, I do know him. Like, you don't want to go that route.
Well, and we know that not that much could have happened in the relationship, right? Based on what we know is going to come out about Colton later in the season.
Yeah. A lot of tricks in up his sleeve here. A lot of hidden things.
He's got layers.
Yeah.
Peeling them back one week at a time. But yeah, it's going to be, I really hope that Tia doesn't make this a bigger deal than it is.
I don't see her doing that. I think
she'll just be like, no, it's cool. Like, we just went out for a weekend.
Honestly, I think Becca, knowing what she has to know, like, we have to have a moment where she's like, so you and Colton, and if Tia is actually her friend, she should just be honest and be like, yeah, it didn't really work out, whatever, fine, I'm good. You're right, like you said, like, she should be good with it. It's kind of crappy if she comes on and just like, yeah, this guy sucks, don't be with him. Like,
would you be concerned that of all the people in the world, he's ended up in a 4-month window dating two people from the Bachelor franchise?
I mean,
do you think he was thinking Tia was going to be the bachelorette?
If she's going to be the bachelorette, then he shouldn't be hanging out with her, because then it will impact him being on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we know, we turned out that Lauren met Ari previously before the show, but that was like before he was even being considered for the Bachelor. So.
And we all know that Nick met Liz at Jaden Tanner's wedding.
Yeah. Know all about that one. Biblically better. Yep. But it's just weird. Honestly, once again, like kind of like Connor not explaining his situation with throwing the picture, I think Colton did a really poor job of explaining, yeah, it was literally just a weekend. We met each other. Like, just give her some very, like, good detail about why this didn't work. It only was a little while. I didn't see this coming. Kind of just happened. You know, like, that's honest. But also, to Becca's point, you're literally dated a guy up until the last moment, and then he broke your heart with another girl. Now you're about to date like 30 dudes, and you're going to make fun of this guy or give this guy a hard time for hanging out with a friend of yours for a weekend? Get out of here.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, and let's face it.
Becca Smart. Has
been just like one of these other schmucks on the show? That dude's going home.
Oh, absolutely.
But not Colton. I'm really attracted to you.
Right. If this is like Jordan or Wills, Jean Blanc, you know, like.
If this is
Limo Guy.
Limo Guy.
Right. Chicken Soup David, bye.
Okay. Let's talk about Cocktails and Roses.
Right.
What do you think of the clay on the driveway of the mansion?
What?
Did you expect her to kiss Clay on this episode? That was the most unexpected.
Dance. Yeah, the touchdown dance. That was also super awkward. That guy has like zero personality. And
really nice.
Super nice. You know what's funny is that she just left the season with the Kissing Bandit. Now she's basically becoming the female version. She is not giving anyone much resistance for kissing.
I'm telling you, Caitlin Bristow broke the mold for this show. John the Venmo guy gets some time with her. He reads her a poem, and he gets a kiss?
Dude, she's kissing everybody. There's no, like...
My wife and I, Jen and I, looked at each other during the show like, what?
Yeah.
She just kissed that dude?
Yep. Well, that guy's probably doing well for himself, though. He should get a kiss.
We turn the page. Jordan's back in his narration, and he's going to do more with less, apparently. And that is stripping down to his boxer briefs, dress shoes with a shirt tossed over his shoulder. He says, after this, there's going to be a target on my back. The pensive gentleman with a target on his back and no clothes. It's like he's just a cartoon character.
Yeah. He really is.
I don't even know what to do with him.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, like, it's the thing.
Oh, I love it. He's great. He's not, like, mean-spirited or anything. No. It's just
I mean, he kind of is mean-spirited because he literally is trying to, like, figure out a way to get a leg up on everybody, even though he really is, like, below a lot of guys in the show. He's also kind of small, too, which I don't think is in his favor because Beck is fairly tall. But also had a conversation with some people that also about the show. We have a little Slack group going. You'd be very inspired by this. I was thinking, I'm like, he is not like Chad, right? Chad was like the ultimate asshole. Everybody hates Chad.
He's not Chad. He's not Crystal.
He's not Crystal. He's not Olivia. You know, he's not any of those people where you're just like, oh God, you are ruining life for people.
Not eyebrow.
He's just a little twerp that just kind of picks at little things. And he's got a lot of opinions about things, but he also just the way he carries himself, like, it's so funny. Like, yeah, he's a male model, but he's like one of the smallest dudes there. He's not very big. He's not very ripped either. Like, he's in good, decent shape, but like, nothing about him stands out outside of his little quirks and getting naked.
He has really blue eyes.
Right. But like, at Colton.
We're gonna see him in Paradise. That is a slam dunk.
No, I hope so. I hope we see him on many other little details around from here on out. I hope he stays on the show for a while too, to have him.
We need to get him to like the final eight at least.
Right. We need to get him on the podcast.
We know he's not ending up with the guy.
No, but I mean, like, it's funny how he is annoying to a lot of people, but he is also like amazing.
You guys never seen a pair of brass balls like this. TikTok, let's make a rock.
That's such a good line. Let's make it a rock.
He's be gold.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, some of the lines are very poorly worded because he cannot speak English for a lot of things. But then he makes TikTok, let's make it rock. I'm like, yes.
Well, it's like, I feel like some of the guys are just amused by him. They actually know how ridiculous he is, but they like it.
I feel like he might be fun to talk to just because he'd probably be crapping on a lot of people in the house, and you're just like, yeah, and go ahead.
Tell me, just keep talking, I'll listen.
Yeah. I feel like TikTok, like, let's make it rock is probably something he says before he does the pensive look.
Yeah. Like his model walking coach says, all right, go TikTok, let's make it rock.
And then he's pensive. Yeah. So
Chicken Suit David
hates this guy.
Jordan does.
Not at all.
He and Terry.
Go ahead. I would say, yeah, he just basically thinks he's super disrespectful. He's like interrogating him. It's one of those moments where it's like, are you here for the right reasons? And what sucks is I like David. I was actually like, oh, I think David might be cool in this, but I'm like, you shouldn't let Jordan let Jordan get under your skin like this right now. It's too early for that. But also, I think David is also playing it like, oh, there's rules to this. But as every season we've watched, especially in the last few seasons that I've actually went and watching this closely, there are less and less rules when it comes down to it. It's actually just thought, just like they're kind of legacy rules. Like, this has never been done, so you should never get away from this. But there's plenty of reasons you should be breaking these rules or going against the norm because you stand out. And Jordan's just trying to stand out. So deal with it, David.
David says, I hope she can see the ingenuine side of him. Don't think that was used properly.
No.
And then Jordan stumbles to misuse and pronounce ingenuity.
So great.
Colton did get a bit of redemption time with Becca at the cocktail party in his maroon and navy plaid, not just blazer, suit. Sells her the relationship is built on honesty and trust, and tells her she will never have that doubt with him. She says this is just hard because she sees something there. And until then, she just wants to wait for more clarity before advancing the relationship at all. So he's been put on the back burner for now until more clarity. I assume that means talk to Tia about it.
AKA next week.
Good thing the girls are showing up. But and it looked like quite a few of them showing up next week. Tia, Becca, Kendall, Cien, they're all there wearing bathrobes for something. But anyhow, let's go into the roses. Mind you, Jordan's standing here wrapped in a pink towel.
Oh, I love that he like took the chicken suit kind of part moment. You have to stay in your costume.
Yeah. I'm going to be just as ridiculous as you, Chicken David.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so Chris R., who was the text message bandit on night one and got the last rose, got the first rose this week, followed by Jason, who had no date.
So weird.
And then John, the Venmo guy, who got a kiss at the cocktail party, and I'm befuddled. She must have gotten wind of like how much money he has.
Yeah, I get this next one. The fourth one is, hey, I'm Clay. Thanks for the kiss. Really appreciate being here, guys. I like you all. Thanks.
I like Kermit the Frog.
It's so bland. Like, there's no personality to his inflection at all. It's just, hey, I really like you, Becca. Appreciate it.
And then the fifth guy that got a rose was Mike. No date.
No date.
No date. We got a rose.
You gotta feel like a real piece of crap if you don't even go. If you go on a date and you lose to a guy that wasn't even talked to.
Then Connor got his redemption rose. Leo, David, Garrett, Nick, Ryan, Kristan, Jordan, who's one of 100 Wilhelmina models in America.
Ooh.
He might not be one after the show, though.
You don't think?
It could happen. Lincoln, and then the final rose to Colton. I was not in doubt that the producers were not going to have Colton not be on the show. And there was too much that we've seen in the previews to know that Colton's going to be around for a while.
Absolutely. So one before we wrap up who left, there was an amazing line by Jordan about David that I wrote down. He goes, hey, I'm David. Is that a question?
Hey, I'm David.
Is that a question? Basically saying like, who are David? Who are you? Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. So to kind of wrap up, we talked about like she's now cast Garrett, Lincoln, John Block, Wills, Clay, and John. And
good for Clay. And
obviously Blake. I didn't list Blake. But like out of this group, Garrett, not really a surprise. John Block, not really a surprise. Blake, not really a surprise. But John, Clay, Wills, Lincoln? Maybe Lincoln's not a surprise. But John, Clay, and Wills, those are surprises.
Yeah, very much so. And like, I mean, dude, that's almost quarter of the house right there.
I feel like the guys at Night at the Roxbury, and they're like, and she's like, hey, you want to get with this? You want to get with this? Yeah. You want to kiss me?
We also say adios to a very teary-eyed Alex, Ricky, and Trent. Alex, like, really ugly crying. You met her for a couple days, dude. Come on.
I'm hoping he was just hammered or something. I don't know how you, even if you're really hammered, how do you get this upset unless you're just a total loser in life? That's one thing that some girl is going to date you.
Wow. Just tear that guy apart. Why don't you? Total loser.
You're
a piece of crap.
Stay down.
Yeah. You deserve nothing.
Yeah, looking into next week, looks like Jason, who didn't get a date this week, is moving on up. The Jordan and Jason feud looks to be deepening. Attached to me is my face. It's my professionality. We saw that in the previews. It was like the exact same phrase from night one. And I went back and I saw the clip from night one, and it was a different video clip. So he said the exact phrase where you saw his mouth actually moving twice.
Wow.
So, and then the bloody EMS scene from next week. And like I said before, it looks like that is, I actually took a note here that it was Jason, but it was actually Chicken Suit David.
Nice. So we also get one more line in the preview from Jordan to David again. Cheers to you being a bitch. I'm already looking forward to next week just to watch Jordan tear somebody else up.
I'm looking forward to every week that I get to see Jordan, and the summer when I get to see Jordan on Paradise.
Oh, and hopefully
he doesn't get sent home immediately on Paradise because no one wants to date him.
Dude, what if he became the next Bachelor? How amazing would that be?
Oh, it would be so good.
Like, maybe you go with one season of just a complete just lunatic, just like, you know, a safe lunatic where he just full of himself, thinks he's awesome, and he's really not, but it's fine. It's funny.
Hey, ladies, go sit over on the couch. I'm going to walk. I'm going to model walk over here. Watch me.
And it's all like this season, all the activities and challenges are all like sports-based. All of them are model-based.
Give me your best blue steel.
Yeah. Next is a swimsuit competition. Go. Which the Miss America took out altogether, thanks to Gretchen Carlson's new movement with the Me Too movement. So go, girl. Go.
What is it? They have a beauty pageant without a swimsuit competition?
Yeah, it's not no longer part of the American Miss America.
What about Miss USA?
I said Miss America. I don't deal with Miss USA.
Well, there's a Miss USA pageant. I think it happened recently.
Miss Universe, Miss World. There's a lot of those, but yeah. Anyway, that wraps up.
We'll talk more about that on our beauty pageant podcast.
Yeah, it's for subscribers only.
Yeah. we'll send out the special link as soon as it's available.
Right. Stay tuned. Seriously. This is actually a really entertaining second episode. I know you're bigger on The Bachelorette than I am usually, but I like Becca. It's still rolling. It's still fun. I know some people are kind of crapping on her already. Like she's already spent, but she's just a good personality to her. And she looks like she's having fun, which makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
It's good. So keep going.
My leaders in the clubhouse are the same two guys that we both drafted number one overall. So I think we did good in that department. Colton and Blake, who sits in your top upper echelon right at this point
that I drafted or just in for the show? Yeah, I'd say Blake way up there. I feel like Colton's gonna make a run here in a bit to get I think
the chemistry is undeniable.
Yeah. Some other guys, I don't know. Like, I think Garrett still has a good shot. I don't know. I mean, like,
I think she likes Garrett. He made her laugh quite a bit on the first night and feel comfortable. So I think he's up there in the mix as well.
I wanted to give Leo some time. I like to see how Leo handles some more one-on-one time.
Yeah. The thing with Leo, like, I know we all like Leo, but like, there seems to be a type of guy she likes, and Leo doesn't fit that mold.
No, he's a kind of an outsider, but I just want to see him, like, the connection, to see if, like, what would happen if they actually had some serious one-on-one time, because I feel like he'd be an interesting guy to, like, converse with.
dark-haired Fabio.
Yep.
Before we wrap up The Bachelorette, take a quick look over at Fantasy for Reality. That's Fantasy, the numeral 4, reality.com. Our good friend Matt Gray runs all of his fantasy games over there. And we are going to get Matt Gray back on this podcast sooner or later to talk about The Bachelorette. So we'll make that happen this season.
I'm getting housed, by the way, already.
Getting housed. I mean,
it's not even fair.
You lost two this week? I lost one this week. You lost two this week, but you had taken a pretty big hit week one. Going into it, I thought I was going to be the one taking a hit week one based on the guys that I drafted, but they're turning out okay. I've lost a pair while you've lost eight.
Eight.
And it shows in the scores. I do the damn thing. Squad's leading your Will You Accept My Hose, which is a play on Burning Love. 930 to 560, but a long way to go this season. Inevitably, I think I'm going to start bleeding out some guys here real fast.
I hope so.
So we're going to do a little something different tonight. We're going to go, let's set the clock here. We're going to go 10 minutes round table on some of our other reality shows, since we're only doing one podcast this week. We don't want to not talk about our shows, but we're going to do it in a condensed format. Let's go ahead and talk about the challenge. Will, go ahead and kick us off.
Yeah, so we kind of ended the last episode with waiting to see if Booby was going to side with Wes or the Stars. Turns out he chooses the champs. He chooses Wes's side, what I think was the right move, because those guys can actually help him out. So good on him. I know you're a fan because he's a UT kid. So good for Booby, which means that Jose and Selena goes
up. Booby in.
Yeah. Which means that Louise and Casper have to play Josea and Salida in a flip cup challenge, which should have been a lot easier, but Jose sucks. And so Louise and Casper.
And Casper's never played flip cup.
Yeah, and still does well.
Never played flip cup? That would be me. Never
what?
Played flip cup. No, yeah, we didn't.
My God, dude.
We didn't play flip cup. We were a big quarters outfit back in the day.
What happens when you go to a small school?
We played You played quarters?
I played quarters, dude. I played them all.
That was our game of choice.
Well, since you haven't played Flip Cup, you should. It's a lot of fun. But Jose and Selena actually makes this kind of close, but Louise and Casper pull this out, as they should, because Jose and Selena are not good at this game.
Yeah, so the challenge this week was they're playing a game called Spot On. And the big thing here was the bottom three teams were going to be on the chopping block at the end of the comp. So it's all about endurance. It's essentially Twister on a rock climbing wall, where you're suspended between two rock climbing walls and have to put your hands and feet on the corresponding ones that are spun on the wheel by The Miz. Brooke is out. Kayla's team is out. Shane's team is out. So at that point in time, three teams are already out. Wes knows this. CT knows this. Using that veteran knowledge, they both drop out of the game. Do you like them using that veteran knowledge and dropping out as well?
I mean, I get it. I understand why they're doing it, but let's also play the game. You know, like, play to win.
Yeah. Booby, Luis, and Casper are the last three up there. Then things totally fly off the handle when Shane's calling out Luis and Casper for cheating, and then it really pops off. And CT, like, no, everybody calls him The Miz on the show. We know him as Mike, and so does CT. He's like, Mike, look, he's their cheat, Mike, which I thought was pretty amusing. Anyhow, Casper ends up winning this, despite having been told by Shane that at least I'm famous in my own right, and I didn't F someone famous, which, shots fired. We're looking at you, J-Lo. But Casper and Booby, they put up a great fight. Booby eventually fell out, so the duo that won, Casper and Luis, gets to pick the MVP. And now we hear that the power play is eliminate. And the three bottom teams are Shane Brooke, Drake and Kayla, Tori and Lil Mama. And he has to eliminate two of those teams on the spot. Do you like this? And
yeah, I mean, you gotta trim the fat.
Who he sent home.
I like trimming the fat pretty quickly, so I'm all for that. But I mean, I don't like Torrey going home. I like Torrey a lot. Brooke and Shane, Shane's a good competitor, but Brooke, I feel like was going to give up at some point anyway. So I think it was probably the right teams at this point to go home. Yeah. Yes.
TT called it the nuclear bomb of power plays. If I'm evaluating it and looking at it in terms of who do I have the best chance of beating at the end, I'm not so sure that the right decision was made. Drake and Kayla, I think, is probably the strongest of the three teams, and that's who you kept.
It's a good possibility.
I think I would have been more apt to choose Torrey and Little Mama. Torrey has a good track record on the show, but it hasn't been great this season. And Little Mama is Little Mama, but Little Mama loved being on the show. She's excited to come back next season. We have four champs and four stars left among the four pairs that are still there. And I'm looking forward to it. I think we'll probably have one, maybe two episodes left. We did get a brief trailer of the final reckoning during this, and we also got to see the pairs. Did you check out all the pairs?
I have not. I did see that next Tuesday we're getting a full trailer, though.
I'm going to run the pairs real quick. Amanda, Freckleface Amanda and Thor. Faith from Vanderpump Rules and Angela from Bad Girls Club, who is on X on the Beach right now. Kyle, Jordy Shore, Kyle, and Brad. That is a team. Brittany and Chuck, who's a rookie. He's an Are You the One guy. Natalie from Big Brother and Paulie from Big Brother. Devon from Big Brother and Jose from Big Brother. Tori and then her ex-boyfriend Derek, who we saw briefly a couple seasons ago. Jenna's back finally. She's teamed up with Jimmy, which could be an interesting pair. Sylvia from The Real World paired up with Joss. And then Kaylee, who went home after the bullying last year, is paired up with Kayla. Melissa and Killa Cam. So British Melissa and Killa Cam. I think that's a really good team. Nelson and Shane. Veronica and CT. And then poor Cara Maria is paired up with Marie. There's one person I didn't name.
Johnny Bananas.
Johnny Bananas is there, but they haven't announced his partner. I think we can all assume it's one of two people.
Wes?
No, it's Tony or Devin.
Wes would be amazing as well, but that would be an overloaded team.
Yeah, well, it's definitely Tony or Devin. There's no way around that.
I know.
Anyhow, so we've used up 7 of our 10 minutes. Time to run.
I knew you would do that.
Let's talk about Southern Charm.
Real quick, Southern Charm, Ashley sucks. She might be one of the worst people on reality TV of all time. She's up there with a lot of terrible, egomaniac, just self-centered piece of crap. She sucks so bad. And Thomas, even though he's kind of an asshole in his own right, Ashley's terrible. Super terrible.
Yeah. This whole argument that goes down at this dinner party, or the first of the two dinner parties, the greatest heel-to-face turn ever on reality TV for Catherine Calhoun Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone from everyone hating her, including the viewers, to really smelling like roses here, and all of her friends like her now.
Yep. She did a great job holding herself together, because if somebody else was attacking, somebody was listening to someone attack about their kids and everything else and who they are and personality and character, they'd probably lose their mind. Yep. Catherine held it together really well.
You know you did a good job holding it together when Whitney, who hates you, tells you you did a great job.
He actually was on your side. Yeah, and it was funny the whole time Naomi's not saying anything. I'm like, where's Naomi going to say something? This is like her friend, and she's been firing off on everybody. But
yeah. They all have to ride a ferry back to their house, and the fireworks go off again. Chelsea, who's the nicest person in the world, gets just berated by a drunken, coked out Thomas and by his crazy girlfriend. And then he apologizes, saying it wasn't very gentlemanly of me. These people are nuts. And you know it's bad when Sheppy is telling all the girls, I hate her. Because Shep likes everybody. Yeah. He's the most inclusive person on the show.
Well, whenever they're at the table the next day and, like, she was like, I want to give me a drink or something like that. And he was like, huh? Can I give her a look like what? I'm not like, what?
Yeah,
and then she starts making some really rude comments. And basically she was like, good chat. And Shep's face is like, what? Like, no, this is not a good chat. Like, he actually despises her, which, like you said, tough to do. Shep likes everybody.
Yeah. I enjoyed the next day where they kind of split off. Catherine, Craig, and Shep went fishing. Austin, Chelsea, Naomi, and Danny, they went crabbing. Whitney got stuck with the crazies at home when he just played on his iPad. And I really appreciated the fact that Shep and Catherine and Craig didn't catch any fish and went and bought fish and pretended that they had bought it, which I boss move.
Big time. Yeah, and great episode.
Before we switch it? Nope. All right, good. Below Deck. Yeah. You love the Below Deck Med.
Yeah. This week, Hannah and Conrad getting super chummy. Resist all you want, like, but Hannah.
Those 10 years?
About, yeah.
He's like 23. I bet she's
33. Yeah. I'd say early 30s, yeah. But, yeah, he tried to resist her, but she's irresistible, especially when you're in a boat. So...
Irresistible when you're there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Kent Heine gets a bad rap because if you follow her Twitter and everything else, like, she seems super sweet. She just has a job to do, and she takes it very seriously.
She's yacht crew hot.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's more than that, but that's just me. That's interesting thing going on. Plus, hitting on the other two stewardesses on the boat, and like, just they're going apeshit over like who he really likes, and so that's been fun to watch as well.
Casey and Brooke.
But yes,
let's talk about these charter guests.
But I really think the big highlight of this season has been the fact that these guests they've had have been awful, really difficult. I mean, like, that makes the show interesting when they are tough to be around. But man, it's some really tough guests in the first three charters.
I mean, the least difficult ones were Dr. Jen Berman, the Sandy's friend doctor, who I peeled back the covers and realized I knew who she was. She hosts couples therapy on VH1. You and I watched both of a little part of one season of this that featured Jenna Dameson, Evil Dick, Tretch from Naughty by Nature, Dina from The Shore, and Wani Pobbs. But this new group of people and their desire for 1942 tequila or 1942 tequila, these people are back to being the nut, the people that wanted their nuts on Charter One.
Rough.
All right. Anything else on Below Deck? We're over time, but we have just a moment if we want to talk about the Jersey Shore.
No, I'm good.
Angelina. She's back. And the meatballs love her. Who saw this coming?
I mean, the girl was like early 20s when they first met her, and I know it's been a while, so like I feel like there was a redemption coming. But yeah, I was actually thought it would be a lot harder to get over than they had. But they got over pretty quick. Had a lot of fun with her.
Brick war champ. Was it a prank? I felt like it was just kind of mean. Because knowing the visceral reaction that he was going to get out of JWoww about this.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's not like they didn't know she was – production didn't know she was coming, so it's not really a prank in real life. But, yeah, I mean, it was interesting, but they got along with her really well. They actually ended up all really liking her. She actually was pretty tame, so it was a good episode. Actually, I watched the new episode tonight, and her getting sent home was actually very civil. No spoiler alert.
Thanks for the spoiler, Will.
Sorry, dude.
I was wondering how that was going to go because I thought it was really crappy. They're making Jenny tell her that she needed to go home when I felt like that responsibility should have resided with Polly since he's the one that brought her there to begin with.
But even though I kind of give you a little spoiler there, there's something that happens on the way home that is disturbing.
All right. Well, I have that to look forward to. Anything else, Mr. Simmons, before we get out of here? I promise in that segment we went 14.
If you're not watching 90 Day Fiancé, you should get back on that horse. It is so good right now. So that's all I have to say.
Did it just begin?
It's like 3 episodes in this new season. It's still following the same couples though, so it's not new people. It's just the same couples kind of going through the same stuff again. So,
meaning that there's new couples started the season, right?
No, same couples the last few seasons. They're just following their stories further.
Hasn't it been longer than 90 days by now?
Oh, it has. It has. But some people are still dealing with the K-1 visas.
I don't think I can get into that if I haven't seen the previous seasons, unfortunately.
It's okay.
That's okay, because we have the challenge coming up in July. We have Big Brother coming up in June. We have Bachelor in Paradise coming up this summer. Anything else on your reality radar before we get out of here?
Probably some other stuff at this point, but it's plenty to do at this point. No rest for the weary.
Absolutely. I'm sure there'll be more that we'll want to talk about, but for now, remind everybody where they can find us online before we get out of here.
Follow us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV Podcast page on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. Find me at IFL1145.
Find me at Spencer Kitley. That is all one word. Until we meet again, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.